Macmillan Audio presents Come Tumbling Down, written and read for you by Seanan McGuire. Come Tumbling Down by Seanan McGuire. For Jillian, who would recognize the Moors, they will always be waiting to welcome you home. I am what I am, and there's much about me that won't be changed with any amount of wishing or wanting. I'm sorry for that. I'd trade a great deal to share an afternoon in the hay with you, dust in the air and sweat on our skins, and neither of us caring. But I'm afraid the experience would drive me mad. I am a creature of sterile environments. It's too late for me to change. Jack Woolcott. Part 1. The Gravity of the Moment. Home again. Eleanor West was fond of saying, inasmuch as she was fond of saying anything predictable, sensible, or more than once, that her school had no graduates, only students who found somewhere else to do their learning for a time. Once a wayward child, always a wayward child. The school's doors would always be open. The lost and the lonely would always be welcome, whenever they wanted to come home. When children were given into her keeping, the teachers she employed taught them about math and literature and science, according to the state's curriculum, and Eleanor herself taught them other, equally important things. She taught them how to lie and dissemble, and how to recognize the difference between the two. She taught them how to pick a lock and how to break a window, and any number of other skills that could be useful to someone who might, at any moment, need to drop everything and run for an impossible door, an impossible future, an impossible dream. And really, that was her true gift to them. She taught them how to keep hoping in the face of a world that told them their memories were delusions, their lived experiences were lies, and their dreams were never going to come true. Perhaps that was her secret for engendering loyalty in a student body that was otherwise disinclined to trust adults, listen to them, or answer when they called. She believed. For people like her students, people like Eleanor herself, belief was the rarest gift of all. The parents of those students called her many things when they were asked. Kind, or considerate, or eccentric, in a way that makes sense for someone who works with children. Not many people asked. The children Eleanor sought for her school were, by and large, the sort whose parents wanted them swept away as quickly and quietly as possible. They had already disappeared once, only to come back changed. So let them disappear again, this time with the proper paperwork in place. Let them go and hope that if they happened to come home a second time, they'd come back the way they'd been and not the way that they'd become. Hope is a vicious beast. It sinks in its claws and it doesn't let go. But Eleanor loved all her children, however wild they became, and most of them, the ones who were still capable of loving anyone in the strange, cruel world where they'd been born, where they feared they'd eventually die, loved her. At Eleanor West's Home for Wayward Children, they could let themselves breathe. They could be protected, for a time. No solicitations, no visitors, no quests. Chapter 1. Wrapped in Lightning, Weeping Thunder. It was obvious to anyone with a discerning eye that the school had started out as the country home of a family with more money than sense. The shape of the original architecture was still there, buried under newer construction. It had been a modest three-story home, once upon a renovation, but it had been embellished over the course of generations by widows and widowers who had handled their grief and their inheritance in the same manner, by picking up a hammer and setting to work. The house had grown like a garden, sprouting wings and tower rooms and greenhouses as if they were nothing more consequential than mushrooms after a rain. What it had been was gone, reduced to nothing but a faint echo in the shape of a door or the structure of an awning. Its replacement was a delightfully rambling sprawl of porches and doors, dormer windows, and inexplicable chimneys. Some of the tower rooms stood higher than the attic. Some of the lower windows had been painted shut to keep them from flooding the halls every time it rained. Still, lights could be seen at all levels of the school, both day and night, and the rooms were often filled with laughter. There were worse things for a house to hold. The school stood alone in the middle of a vast rolling field.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?